This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Conover. On the 3rd of October 1957, the Bishop of Killaloe was met on the outskirts of the fishing village of Quilty on the coast of County Clare by a lorry carrying a strange cargo. A rowing boat, in which sat three elderly men. Having collected the bishop, the lorry made slow and stately progress to the church of Our Lady Star of the Sea, past villagers lining the street, who then gathered inside. The three men, 68-year-old Thomas Boyle, 86-year-old Michael McInerney and Michael Maloney, 91, were helped down from the lorry and escorted into the church, where a bell on the altar tolled solemnly. The bell was enough of a clue as to the nature of the event. Carved into its brass was the name Leon, the Latin number 13, and the date 1902. Yet the church itself was a monument to events that had taken place exactly 50 years earlier, involving that bell. Events in which the three elderly men had played a crucial part. The Leon XIII had been at sea almost continuously for 5 months by October 1907. A 3,500-ton, iron-hulled, three-masted grain ship launched in 1902, the state-of-the-art vessel had left Nantes in northern France for Portland, Oregon, to bring back a cargo of grain destined originally for Cork, but redirected to Limerick. As the ship made its way around the west coast, a vicious storm blew up without warning off County Clare, damaging the sails and causing the Leon XIII to lose its rudder, making her almost impossible to navigate. Having given up hope of beating their way to the relative safety of the Shannon estuary, through the howling gale, driving rain and hailstones, Captain Lucar thought he spotted a sandy beach and ordered the Leon XIII to be driven onto it, to ride out the storm and be lifted again on the next tide. Instead, the ship smashed onto rocks and almost immediately began to break up. Most of his 22-man crew took to the rigging for safety. A couple of men stayed with their captain, who had been swept along the deck by a wave breaking over the ship and broken his leg. The Leon XIII was barely 250 yards from the shore, but with the Atlantic whipped into a furious rage by the storm, that might as well have been 250 miles. Alerted by the frantic ringing of the ship's bell, the people of the village gathered on the shore, watching helplessly as the men clung to the rigging, while the ship below slowly dismantled itself. Within a couple of hours, Coast Guard vessels had arrived, as had the Seafield lifeboat. In the afternoon, the British naval ship HMS Arrogant arrived and stood off, but with the storm still raging, none could draw close enough to effect a rescue. Which is when the men of Quilty decided to take matters into their own hands. Three to a boat, a dozen of them dragged their fishing curraghs into the surf, climbed aboard and set off into the teeth of the gale for the Leon XIII. They smashed into the waves, making slow progress, but making progress. They could hear their friends and families on the shore wailing as their boats, tiny against the marbled, steepling seas, plunged out of sight over a wave before rising again on the next. On the Leon XIII, the crew saw the tiny boats approaching, lashed splintered timbers together into makeshift rafts, and, when the currers were close enough, cast themselves onto the mercy of the sea. 13 men were pulled from the water and carried safely to shore, with the rest, including the stricken captain, picked up by the coast guard once the sea eventually began to lose its power. Everyone was accounted for that night, and not a single life was lost. When news of the bravery of the men of Quilty spread, donations began to arrive from all over Ireland. From France, the home of the Leon Trez, and money arrived from Britain and even America, contributing to a total of which the villagers could only ever have dreamed. The men didn't want the money. They said they were only doing what anyone else would have done, but it didn't go to waste. The one thing Quilty didn't have was a church. The foundation stone was laid in 1909, and the new building was consecrated 2 years later. To this day, on a tablet over the entrance, are the names of the men who had risked their lives that day to save the crew of the Leon Trez. And on the altar is the ship's bell that had first alerted the village to the impending disaster. Curiously, there are 32 names on the tablet, far more than the dozen that actually participated in the rescue. Speaking in 1963, the by then 92-year-old Michael McInerney recalled how the prospect of reflected glory had some locals sidling up to the stonemason and insisting their name be added to the list.
How many men went out on the rescue in the end?
Well, there was 14 of us altogether there. There was 19, 11, 12, 12 men. 12 men. And then one canoe out in the evening, there were 3 in the morning.
I see a big list outside the door of the church.
Half of them weren't in it. Half of them weren't in it.
And how did they get their names put up?
I'll tell you that. They had the committee below here in one of the houses. 3 or 4 of those fishermen and a few more strangers and thinking that they got something out of the French for saving them. Everyone was going in, put on my name, they wasn't the rescue, put on my name. But half of them weren't there. That's the way them was there. No.
Fifty years on, McInerney was able to pass beneath his own name, carved into that tablet, on his way into the church to commemorate that fearsome night when he and his fellow Quilty men had risked their lives for a crew of strangers, stricken at the mercy of the sea, making sure they went home to their families. When he was brought ashore, Captain Lucar, in agony with his broken leg, had paid tribute to the bravery of the rescuers. At one time they rode over the white crests buoyantly, he said. Another time they would disappear into a great valley of water, and we on the wreck said, "It's all over." But on they came, nothing daunted. That was a coastal story. I'm Charlie Connolly. A quick plug here for the paperback edition of my book, The Channel, about the English Channel and the people who made it what it is today. It's published by Orion on the 23rd of June, and pre-orders really help get a book noticed ahead of publication. So if you fancy it, its cover price is £9.99, and the earlier you order, the better it is for everyone, especially me. Thanks, folks. Thanks also to everyone who's reviewed Coastal Stories on their podcast platforms. They make lovely reading and help to get the podcast noticed. If you fancy doing likewise, that would be much appreciated. You can also buy the podcast a pint at the address in the show notes.